If we didn't have a loaded show on Friday, I was going to have Bryson Hull come in that day. But, you know, diner tour totally messes me up. So this was major news at the end of May. The Public Utility Regulatory Authority has tentatively settled a suit by the state's electric utilities by acknowledging that former chair Marissa Gillette ignored the law by freezing fellow commissioners out of the regulatory process and concealing her role as sole decision maker in hundreds of decisions. And so this was something that Bryson Hull and I had talked about. I don't know how many times, Bryson. He's kind of our energy expert on the show. He also is the deputy Northeast director for Consumer Energy Alliance. So they settled a lawsuit. What do you think?
They settled a lawsuit, and I love that. You settle a lawsuit that essentially says, all right, we admit, the state of Connecticut admits, and Attorney General William Tong, in his capacity as the state's lawyer, admit, okay, Marissa Gillette broke the law for most of the cases, basically throw 6 years of regulatory work out, and settle a lawsuit that was going to be really ugly for the state if they hadn't done it. So that is a prudent, practical decision. Somebody once put it to me that the utilities have the bazooka with the information. They had the bazooka. They settled. We don't have a war. This is a good thing. But then the next word out of his mouth after settling is, I'm going to rail these, Eversource executives for all their money. They're cheating the United, and they ran their favorite, their enemy regulator out of town. It sounds to me like she ran herself out of town.
Right. Didn't you just admit that she... I'll just read it again really quickly. Acknowledging that former chair Marissa Gillette ignored the law by freezing fellow commissioners out of the regulatory process and concealing her role as sole decision maker in hundreds of decisions.
Ignoring the law is the same as breaking the law.
Well,
as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree with that.
From a perspective. But
that's a synonym,
way,
sure.
You've created liability for the state of Connecticut, right? You've created liability by not following the law or ignoring it, breaking it, whatever. And then you get caught, and then it's the utilities that ran you out of town. The utilities took advantage in an adversarial situation. So give them enough rope, they always hang themselves. Always. So then Tong to come around and say this, it's like, just stop campaigning. You know, Blumenthal's not dead yet. You're not going to be senator for a while. We all know what you're doing. It's the most red meat. Like, again, I'm going to say it again, vegan red meat, because it just doesn't even stand up to rational behavior. Mm-hmm. And I wish he would do better for the state and stop being like, I'm going to get the Eversource guys. How are you helping anybody? Again, outrage politics. It has not worked. It hasn't worked at the national level. It turns people off from the Trump administration. It turns people off from national progressives. It turns people off here. And just because your party runs the state and has run the state more or less unopposed for over a decade doesn't give you a right to just start ignoring reality.
But it's crazy though, Bryson, and maybe this is me editorializing this, but how, to your point, how do you say a statement like this lawsuit was settled, even though it was absolutely proven that people were iced out, their voices were not heard, major decisions were made by one person who no longer is here? How do you say that, but then in the same breath say that she was driven out of town by the major utility companies? And I guess my point being is, do you think that at the leadership level of our state, they just believe that we're going to read that and go, oh, okay, great. We read the first sentence. A lawsuit was settled. I'm so glad we tackled this. So now I feel like we're in a more confident place with our utility companies.
This is not a stupid state. People are educated here. So if you think we're going to believe that, I mean, really, you know, wake up a little earlier and come with a better argument. Because it's, you know, people will say, oh, two things can be true at the same time. Those two things cannot be true at the same time.
Right. You literally can't say that.
You can't say it. You can't say that in your capacity as Attorney General representing the state of Connecticut, you should be mad at Marissa Gillette. You should be mad at the exposure she put one of your attorneys general, deputy attorneys general, into for Matthew Budzik's court. Was like, I think you guys were not forthright. They are still before, I forget what it's called. It's the state grievance commission or something. It's a bar. It's the before the bar to be talked to. So you're mad about that. One of your fellow executive branch people, senior person, didn't follow the law. You should be mad.
But I don't get that, though, Bryson. And we've talked about that. I don't know how many times on this show. Why the response of Marissa Gillette in general, even though it has been proven, it has always just kind of been, no, that's not the full story. But then when you ask for the full story, that is the full story. It's just we're not going to come right out and say that. From Governor Lamont to Attorney General William Tong to many others. I want to say one of the only people that have actually said anything, I want to say, is House Minority Leader Vin Candelora.
Yeah, and I think Speaker Ritter's been, he's the way he does things is not necessarily direct, but he'll say, I'm not approving of this. He's
that's fair. Yes, I agree
I think
with
that's
you.
That's
the
way he operates within the
but again, so we have House leaders who are saying it.
Mm-hmm. And they agreed. You know, that's and so there's people that said it. I think you have to look at the arc of the propaganda around her. Okay. Oh my God, she's so amazing. She's the greatest regular. I also heard just the other day, I haven't proven it yet, that she kind of didn't leave Maryland under the best of terms. And again, she was not a regulator there. She was running programs. Let's build your rooftop solar or this or that, you know, running programs that just essentially are money giveaways, which are what are the public benefits charge here, right? So I think the arc was then it was everybody's being mean to her because she's a woman, right? There was that arc for a while.
Right.
She's also the greatest regulator in the United States. Nonsense, as I've written before. Like, if that's true, the country's in trouble. And then there was the hear no evil, see no evil, but you should leave and you get to resign. And, you know, there's no accountability for your behavior.
Well, I think that's what bothers me even with this. So what does this lawsuit amount to? So what happens to Marissa Gillette? Nothing?
To her, nothing. I think she's, get a lawyer for that one, but I think there's some sovereign issues there where she's protected. What is still happening, though, is that she's in certain quarters because we have a bifurcated media that's like, oh my God, she's so great. She can go to Canary Media and they'll be like, oh, Marissa, you left under a cloud, but I did really good work. Uh-huh. Really? Is the sky blue? As I liked it. I love that article. Is the sky blue? No, it's blue. That she wrote. That was the sky is blue article. But anyway, point being, she's running around. I think I said this in the last show, having a good authority that she's working with Governor Shapiro's office in Pennsylvania. That's not a good solution for Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania has problems that are endemic to the system they're in, PJM, and they've been pretty good being a, you know, relatively purple and balanced state. So our problem here is totally blue state. Nobody wants anybody to hang for anything. And I mean, you can look at it. We talked about it last time with the chancellor, right?
Yeah.
Using the same P card as Aaron Stewart, right? And then as your point from last time, Aaron Stewart's getting hammered, but this person is still kind of allowed to hang around and, you know, cash check.
Make $400,000 so a year, yeah.
Because he's such a guru.
Well, because I think he is approved by the leadership in Connecticut.
And that's,
I mean, he's protected.
That's a problem. We don't have anybody saying, you know what? No, this was wrong. I know the conversation when Gillette left was, okay, this is unsustainable. You got to go. So, you know, sit down before you fall down, Dr. Jones, right?
Right.
But that's not okay. Somebody should have said, and it's not suiting anybody to say, you know, oh my God, the utilities are terrible. They're this, that. This was non-controversial for years. Okay. Everything's more expensive. I went to buy dog food the other day. I was shocked.
Right.
It's up like by $20, you know, and that's a bigger story. But I think just hammering the utilities and they've said it out loud. I mean, they've said it out loud. We need a new villain. So for 20 years, and it was Bill McKibben in Vermont. You know, he was like, he literally wrote a thing in Rolling Stone that said, we're going to make big oil. Every movement needs a villain. Big oil is the villain. And then you have media that follow that and they're like, yeah, big oil is the villain.
Right.
And you get this natural, well, we don't
follow
trust companies.
Effect. Right.
We don't trust companies.
Right.
So a company may say something and be correct and they're not listened. I've said this before. I represent one client. They build a certain kind of steel in a certain place and they use integrated old fashioned steel making. You can't make other steels. There's certain steels that only can be made that way. They have a concerted bunch of national and internationally funded groups coming to tell them, why don't you make this an electric arc furnace? Close down the existing plant, fire all 4,000 people that work there, and then we're going to make this stuff. And by the way, the thing they're talking about, it's green steel with hydrogen that doesn't work. And that you look at the two times it was tried, it had $1,000 tons subsidy. Mm-hmm. So wait, again, we need to start getting back to like just asking for the real,
real.
Is that going to work? No, you're going to double the price of steel, make them non-competitive.
Right.
Are you going to hold somebody accountable for ignoring the law as the top regulator of the state and then say, no, she did wrong and then wash your hands of it?
Right. Well, I think that's even to a national conversation too, Bryson. I know this kind of is controversial, but I look at even, and I know this is a different subject, but if you even look at health insurance, for example, and what happened to the CEO of United Healthcare in New York. And the thing that bothered me about that is I'm not saying that health insurance is affordable in any way, shape or form. However, we don't want to look at the full scope. We never want to look at the hospitals and how they charge in their systems. We never want to look at the drug prices. We just look at, health insurance companies are just out to take all your money. But understand how much falls on the health insurance carrier when you are going to the hospital and they're charging you $15,000 just to take an ambulance ride. You know, it's like it's not just one person, but the entire country in some regard almost justified that killing because they're like, well, health insurance is so
Luigi Mangione is so dreamy. I mean, come on.
But that's what I'm saying. It's that same kind of concept, again, where you can create a villain. That's perfectly fine. But if you're not going to look at the scope of the entire issue at hand, then you're narrow-minded. And you're going to allow things like this with Marissa Gillette just kind of getting a slap on the wrist. Hey, yes, you were guilty of this. But
And that's an institutional breakdown. And I remember reading it's, oh, Hassan Piker and Gia Tolentino, these little, you know, little favorites of the left writers. And the things they say are so offensive. Like, yo, man, I've seen people dead from war, like walk through people, battlefields where people are dead. It's not to be taken lightly, killing someone. And you're talking about the system. And you talk about the system, then it's, okay, so there's insurance. Why is insurance so high? Well, because you have, you know, lawsuits every 5 seconds. And we've turned, I don't know if you've looked around lately, but I think I could be confused that 95 up here is the same as 95 in Florida, given how many ambulance chase lawyers we have up.
Oh, sure.
It's crazy. I was right. Like, am I in South Florida?
You know? So true.
So there's all these things, but like all this requires is Americans doing what Americans were, which is generally a little bit educated about what's happening.
Right.
At least what affects them.
Mm-hmm.
Try a little bit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help us when we have people who are motivated by their social media feeds to say nonsense like Attorney General Tong. Like, yeah, it's Eversource's fault. They ran her out of town. She ran herself out of town. Let's just stop it and stop feeding us nonsense. You're not going to be running for Senate just yet.
Well, yeah. And again, it's just very hard to have those two things said in the same breath, which is that she ignored the law, freezing fellow commissioners out of the regulatory process, concealing her role as a sole decision maker in hundreds of decisions for our state. But at the same time, it's the utilities that are at fault.
And we were saying that when it was happening,
right?
And no one was listening.
We are chatting with Bryson Hull, who I like to call our energy expert here on the morning show. He's also the deputy Northeast director for the Consumer Energy Alliance. What?
They ran in costs. That's something we should talk about.
We should. Yes. I honestly blanked right there. And I said to Bryson, what are we talking about now? I'm telling you, it's really a Monday.
It really is a Monday.
Yeah. What's the latest on that?
So I read something very interesting over the weekend that all the CEOs of the major oil companies, you're talking your Exxons, your Chevrons, Shell, they're all talking like we're now approaching globally. The storage levels for oil are getting really low.
Mm.
And once that starts to filter into the market, the global market, we're going to start to see price shoot up. Which means we better button up Iran real quick or get ready to buckle down on higher prices. And I got to put the expensive stuff in my truck. It's already $5.70 here a gallon. We're going to be looking at California prices.
You think so?
If we don't have a rectification soon. And
yeah, but what's the likelihood of that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I feel like the coverage of the Iran war is a little not as daily as I'd like it to be for the way it's treated.
I'm so glad you said that, because I feel like we did a way better job as a country with what's gone on with the Ukraine war. I feel like we've done a lot better in other major circumstances. But Iran is kind of few and far between, for my liking, where I can keep up with what's going on and engaging what's going to happen.
Well, it is, especially when you have the contrast of like the media being like, oh my God, this war is like it's lost. And because you have politicians saying, oh my God, we're doing a terrible job. And it's like we're 4 months in. A very complicated thing where we're not ready to bomb them to the Stone Age, which we could do, but it's probably not going to work.
Right.
So someone's got to make a decision in Washington to do, and I think there's an aversion, and that's a very MAGA split thing. Like, we don't want to get in forever wars. Well, you don't have to get into forever war. Just go finish the work, put some people on the ground, take care of things, get out, and then you've got the leverage, as opposed to letting them basically hold this. We're facing a very bad point here.
Yeah,
either
no
Iran
kidding.
Proves their point that they can hold it hostage and screw the world,
mm-hmm.
or we prove them like, no, we got this and you can't, and we're not going to let you do it.
But do you feel like politics then weigh too much? Because you go back to even when President Trump was campaigning and he's like, I will never start a war. That's not what we're going to do. We're not going to put boots on the ground. But now, to your point, you kind of have to.
Well, because it wasn't as successful as Maduro. And Maduro was like a strike. That was a fire mission. When you read all the work that was involved in that, the full spectrum that they had to get it and get it done. But it really was just a big, basically, kidnapping operation, right? And then you got some people on the ground to be like, well, we can either behave or we play with the new rules. That's not going to happen with Iranians. They're different. They're not. They're far more ideologically motivated. They're far more divided with different groups and running things against the Republican Guard. So either we wipe them out with Israel and get things under control, or we have to kind of back out and we let Iran sort of control the Gulf, the Strait of Hormuz.
Mm.
Not a good thing. Either way, it doesn't bode well for prices.
Yeah.
And if I'm running for election, I'm not liking that. So I might want results now.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but what do you, so ideally, I mean, we would probably have to start, I would think prepping for those price hikes to happen, like how soon do you think?
Not too long. We're talking midsummer.
Oh.
Midsummer and summer's driving season. Everybody knows that.
Right.
But I think we're going to.
Well, and flights. Like, I think, I mean, again, I know this is like, we're talking about a war. So not to first world country us, but I do think that's, you know, when you talk about a very unaffordable Connecticut that we live in right now, people mm-hmm. should know what that's going to mean.
Yeah, but that's not the fault of the war, really. That's just a layer
no
on
question.
Top, you know?
No question. It's just another, that is a layer on top of what we just kind of, you know, didn't, I'd say, secure or try to invest in long term during the legislative session.
But it's fish or cut bait time with Iran, I think. You know, we've got to find something to do here. And I suspect, remember, I don't know if I said this before, but I suspect that when we had the two airmen that were rescued, that were shot down, you remember?
Yes, I do.
There's a lot of hardware on the ground. I think we talked about this.
Mm.
There were three Black Hawk little birds, which are the little attack helicopters.
Sure.
Not really attack helicopters. They're more observation attack. And then there were, I think it was two or three AC-130 or C-130s that are set for special forces. So they can land on real short.
Yeah.
I suspect what they were probably doing is looking... There was some uranium that's nearby. I think they were looking at the feasibility. Can we get on the ground and take that stuff out?
Really?
So who knows what's going on, but I'd like to see something, and I'd like to see the news actually pick up their act and maybe cover this stuff. I think part of that's the function. We don't have the money. You don't have as many foreign correspondents as we had a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I don't see the day-to-day, like, what are we doing?
Right.
There's not a lot of that.
No, I don't think so either. And I think a part of that to, you know, an earlier conversation I had totally separate from this with a state senator here in Connecticut is that we've allowed in so many regards politics to supersede logic. And to me, I think that that's even superseded good journalism to some regard, because you cover something like this. It's like people just want to know what the facts are more than even, you know, In my personal opinion, I just want to know what's happening and understand, like, what is that direct impact on me or this state or what have you. But I think we're too focused on, you know, which move is Donald Trump going to make next. That is the focus of America, when we should just be focused on, okay,
let's... the focus of certain American media. It's not the focus of America. I disagree with you there. And what I think it boils down to, like, think about it for us, right? We're trained people in this work. We're trained journalists. We know how to look at news and be like, all right, that came from here. This is who's saying it and why. It's never been harder in my life to do it for the last decade.
No kidding.
I don't know how it is for ordinary folks who just hear the news in passing.
Right.
And that's a hard time. And also the journalism's off the rails. On Friday, I got a...
Oh, it's crazy.
I swear, I got an email from a reporter at a major outlet in the Southwest, major newspaper, who should know better, who literally asked, did you guys pay donations to politicians in exchange for a vote on this? First of all, what a stupid question. No, we didn't. That's not how it works. You pay donations to people you agree with, right? And there's never a quid pro quo. I mean, I'm sorry. There just isn't.
But I think that's where I give the statement of that's what America is thinking right now, because I do think American media is driving a lot of our thoughts on top of social media, which is alarming. Back to the very, very original part of this entire conversation, which is that's what worries me about logic, is yes, you have very smart people, but when you have a lot of very loud noises, or loud voices, I should say, all saying kind of the same thing, this is what you should focus on, we totally miss the bigger picture.
Well, I would tell you the public relations part of my day-to-day work is counter-propaganda.
Literally. Oh, I'm sure.
That's what I do for
a living. Because you have to.
That's how it is.
You have to, Bryson. That's literally why this job has become exponentially harder. And why 100%. I only focus on like news right here in Connecticut, because I can't go beyond. No. It's too hard. No. Because you spend three times the amount of time just trying to counteract the misconceptions that you get either in mass media or social media. And then by the time you're done with that, it's like, man, I need a nap. Yeah, it's a lot.
And you hate to be the guy getting older going, they don't do journalism like they used to, but they really don't.
But they don't.
They don't.
I agree. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Actually, we agree on a lot of things. So.
Yeah, we do.
Bryson Hall, always appreciate you again, our energy expert here on The Morning Show, also Deputy Northeast Director for the Consumer Energy Alliance. I guess we will definitely see with Iran what happens.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that.